This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Call the meeting of the Senate Legislative Procedures Committee to order. I would Secretary call the roll.
Senators Crabtree?
Here.
Diedrich?
Here.
Duhamel?
Here.
Nethaba?
Here.
Shanefish?
Here.
Kamak?
Here.
And Schoenbeck?
Here.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Members of the body, we have two items on our agenda today related to impeachment. The first issue is Senate Resolution 701, and I've asked John McCullough from the Legislative Research Council staff to appear to present that. Initially, if there's a friendly amendment, if somebody would move SR 701A.
So
moved. Moved by Senator Nethaba, seconded by Senator Diedrich. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, carries. Amendment is adopted. Just a couple of prefatory remarks as we start on what is a historic process for us here in South Dakota. It's sort of a good news, bad news thing. We have no rules on impeachment because we never needed them. The good news is we're not one of the states that have an established body of law about impeachment because those states needed them. Arizona, Illinois, we're not. That's the good thing. But it means we start with a relatively clean slate. And Mr. McCullough has been most helpful in that process with us. So the first matter we'll take up is Senate Resolution 701 as amended. John, if you would introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, members, John McCullough with the LRC. Senate Resolution 701, the real substance begins on line 13. This resolution accomplishes several things, the first of which it resolves the Senate into a court of impeachment and designates June 21st, 2022 as the day and time for the beginning of the trial. Second, the resolution serves as the summons to the respondent, which requires a written answer to the articles of impeachment by June 1st and to appear personally or by counsel in the Senate chamber on June 21st. Finally, the resolution directs the director of LRC to provide the resources necessary to administer the activities of the impeachment trial.
Thank you, John. And for members of the Senate or the public that are, if you're looking at a printed copy of Resolution 701, much of what John just said isn't on that. It's on the amendment that comes from 701A, just in case you were wondering why the difference. Are there any other proponents for Senate Resolution 701A? Are there any opponents to Senate Resolution 701A? Seeing none, then we'll close to committee discussion and or questions. Any questions about Resolution 701 as amended? Seeing none, we would I would entertain a motion. Motion by Senator Diedrich, seconded by Senator Duhamel, to approve Senate Resolution 701A and send to the Senate floor. All those in favor, or any discussion on the motion?
As amended, I said.
Seeing no discussion, the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Crabtree?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Duhamel?
Aye.
Nethaba?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, you have seven ayes and zero nays.
Resolution 701, as amended, is adopted to be referred to the Senate floor. Next item on the agenda is Senate Resolution 702. I've asked Senator Wheeler to join John McCullough at the dais there to present Senate Resolution 702. Just a couple of prefatory remarks. Senator Wheeler, I believe with the assistance of Senator Rush and Senator Johns, way back last spring, maybe earlier than that, when we first knew there might be an idea of that this could end up coming our way, they began the work of looking at what other states do and discerning and sifting through what might be an appropriate process for us. So that started the process. The other thing that is not a problem for about 30 of the senators, but for the four or five of us that have law degrees, it is to get your head around the idea that this is neither a criminal proceeding nor a civil proceeding. It is a trial of impeachment, which is neither of the things you see on television. And while a few of the words will be the same because the words have meaning and they happen to have similar meanings in civil and criminal proceedings as they would have in a trial of impeachment, they are vastly different animals. And for non-lawyers, you won't struggle with that. I will tell you, lawyers, we will struggle with that. And these rules are an attempt to craft our rules for a trial of impeachment, neither a civil nor criminal trial. That preface, go ahead, Dave. Senator Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As Chairman pointed out, this really did start the 2021 session when impeachment became a real possibility. We did not know how fast or slow that process would work. We didn't know if we'd be doing this trial in 2021 during that session or what. And we didn't want to be kind of caught flat-footed in case an impeachment trial was going to occur. And so got together with Senator Johns and Senator Rush and just talked about what's the process. How do we make up rules from scratch? And so we reached out to the National Conference of State Legislatures, and because they're a good body that can help provide resources. And they provided copies of rules from the state of Arizona and state of Illinois, a couple other resources. But that was kind of the only rules they could find that they had access to. Just doing some more research, I was able to locate a set of rules in North Dakota. And so then those three formed what I would call the initial, what I used to help kind of form the initial draft. Kind of culled those three drafts together to figure out how to do various different procedural aspects of an impeachment trial. And so that's what you see, that from the basis, I should say, of 702. I would note that Illinois' rules were very long and very complicated and way too detailed for what we needed. So I knew I wasn't going to use that as the basis because we just didn't need that kind of level of detail. Something simple, easy to understand for everybody to get us through the impeachment process is what we wanted, to be a fair process. So that way people can have confidence that we reach a result through a fair procedure. So that is how we came up with 702 as a basis, and then sent that out to other senators and LRC, and then further refinement was done to come up with 702, and then Mr. McCullough was going to walk through the content of 702.
Thank you, Senator Wheeler. John.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John McCullough, LRC. I will walk through the rules. If you want to stop at any point and go into further depth, please let me know. The rule language begins on line 15, page 1 of the resolution, and the rules are broken down into five chapters. Chapter 1, the commencement chapter. Chapter 2, organization. Chapter 3, pretrial procedure. Chapter 4, trial procedure. Chapter 5, verdict and judgment. Starting with Chapter 1, the commencement chapter, these rules require the Senate to adopt a resolution setting the date and time for the impeachment trial. That's Senate Resolution 701. It requires the Senate to summons the respondent to appear in person or by counsel on the date of the trial and to provide a written answer to the articles of impeachment. Also requires the Senate to serve the respondent with the relevant documents. Chapter 2, dealing with organization, primarily deals with officers and employees of the Senate and the oaths that need to be taken. Rule 2.1 establishes that the President of the Senate is the presiding officer. Rules 2.2, 2.3, 2.4, 2.9 all relate to taking oaths. Specifically, the rules provide that the presiding officer, each witness, and each senator must take an oath. Rules 2.5 to 2.7 provides that decisions and rulings of the presiding officer may be appealed by a senator. A majority vote of members elect sustains a ruling. 2.8 requires the Secretary of the Senate to keep records of all proceedings in the journal. 2.10 and 2.11 allow the Senate to employ court reporters and to appoint prosecutors. 212 provides who is allowed to be on the Senate floor during the proceedings. Moving to Chapter 3, pretrial procedure. This provides direction for making available the impeachment file for senators to review, and it provides deadlines for submission of evidentiary documents and Senate member questions. These both have to be provided to the presiding officer. 3.2 prohibits motions to dismiss articles of impeachment. 3.3 requires the presiding officer to assist in compelling the attendance of witnesses and to take applications from each party for subpoenas and to issue subpoenas. 3.4 provides that certain individuals may not be witnesses or subpoenaed, and 3.5 prohibits depositions or other pretrial discovery. Moving to Chapter 4, trial procedure. 4.1 provides that the Senate rules and joint rules apply, except where they conflict with these impeachment rules. 4.2 provides specifically that evidence may be admitted if it is relevant, material, and not redundant, and the South Dakota rules of evidence do not apply. The presiding officer decides all evidentiary questions. 4.3 lays out the schedule for the trial and the time allotted for each party. If the respondent were to testify, the time limitations do not apply. Moving on to Chapter 5, verdict and judgment. These rules provide that after closing arguments are concluded, the Senate will take a vote on each article of impeachment. The question that will be presented to the Senate is found in Rule 5.2. If two-thirds of the members elect vote to sustain the articles of impeachment and to remove the respondent from office, then a second question will be posed to the Senate. The second question is found in Rule 5.7. And this question relates to disqualification. A motion to reconsider either question is not in order. Once the Senate has concluded all the voting, the Senate will adopt a resolution that memorializes the proceedings of the Court of Impeachment. That concludes my summary.
Let me, Senator Wheeler, do you have anything else you wanted to add at this time?
No.
I think I'm going to, I don't know if we're going to have this, but let me just ask, are there any other proponents of the resolution that wish to testify? Seeing none, are there any opponents of the resolution that wish to testify? Seeing none, then we will close to committee discussion and questions. And so at this time, if members of the committee have questions they want to ask of Senator Wheeler or John McCullough, please feel free to speak up.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dietrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there anything in the rules that indicates the point in time when the AG has to advise the Senate that he will or will not testify in person?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead and answer the question.
Thank you. No is the short answer to that. They are not required to present a witness list and any deadline, and so that would be during their time allotted to decide what witnesses they call and if he's part of that.
There are other questions from the committee. I'm going to have a couple just to highlight some of the nuances, but any other committee members? Senator Wheeler, could you maybe tell the, and since we have, one thing first, let me say why people may not be as surprised if you're in the public about this is that these rules have been out to all of the senators and they've been in their hands and they've had the chance to ask all kinds of questions of anybody they might want to since last week. So it's not the first time that anybody's seen these. But Senator Wheeler, in 5-7, where there's a separate vote on the disqualification from office, there's a nuance there. Not every state does it that way. Could you tell the committee?
Correct. There's different ways that can be handled. I saw at least one set of rules that did not have a separate vote, that the vote to convict on the articles of impeachment would automatically come with the result of immediate removal from office and disqualification from future office. But most rules that I saw had those separated out, that there was a separate vote after the vote to convict is passed by two-thirds, a separate vote is taken on the question of disqualification from future office. I saw some variation in that separate question also. I know at least one state had that as a majority threshold. Another had a two-thirds threshold. I think to avoid any constitutional question of what that threshold should be, we stuck with two-thirds.
Any other questions from any members of the committee? Senator Nazarbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in response to that last comment, I'm looking at Section 5-5 and looking at line 28 on page 5. It does say the judgment of conviction and removal from office shall be entered into the journal. And that seems somewhat inconsistent with what you just said if we're going to take two separate votes on that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Wheeler.
Thank you. So the judgment of conviction is the initial vote that he has been convicted of an article of impeachment and automatically removed from office. So that vote, no matter what we do on disqualification, that will be entered on the journal as a conviction.
Welcome to the Heartland Institute's Climate Reality Forum, Day 2.
Apparently we're having a sale at the CAMAC Supply.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you for that. Thank you for that clarification.
It's only a 30-minute iPod. This isn't going to take long.
I didn't touch anything.
Global health—that's an interesting subject for the day. Are there other committee questions, Senator Crabtree?
Chair. Senator Wheeler, looking at Chapter 4, should that be, just as a clarification, should that be Central Daylight Savings Time, given where we're at? Just as a clarification, I know it's so a little nitpicky, but...
That's a good one. I'm going to plead that I didn't draft that particular line. I believe we are in Central Daylight Time now, so... if we want to get really,
it's just stupid.
I've waited 2 years to try to get Wheeler on something. So just clarification so that we are all clear.
Thank you. I'm glad that somebody in the Senate was reading these rules closely enough to catch that.
And by way of leeway under the circumstances, if the president of the Senate has any questions, I realize you're an ex officio member of the committee, but I do want you to know that you're certainly free to ask them as well. And I want the committee to know at this time that I did get one comment, and that was from Mike Butler, who's the attorney representing the Attorney General, and his request was that we change 4 hours to 7 hours in Rules 4-3, Sub 4 and 5. I have no intention of making that motion myself. That would be up to some member of the committee, or now the whole Senate knows if somebody wants to make that motion either here or on the floor. They're certainly free to do that. Any other questions of Senator Wheeler or John McCullough? Seeing none, we'll close and go to committee motions. Senator Kamak.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve.
Moved by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Crabtree, that we adopt Senate Rules Resolution 702, recommended the Senate that they adopt the resolution.
Mr. President.
Discussion. Senator Nazarbaum.
Yeah, just that on the page 4, line 23, can we just make that Central Daylight Time? Do we need a formal amendment, or can we just do that?
I think Central Standard Time is what you call it.
We're on Central Day. We're on Central Daylight Time.
What's the stylistic?
Central Daylight Savings Time. Just say Central Time. CT as well.
If you feel compelled to make that motion so that we know we're in daylight savings time, you can make that motion. I think he was making a joke over there earlier, just so you understand.
Now we can.
Mr. President, I would just like to make that central time.
I'd second it.
Central daylight savings time.
No, just central time. To make it clear that we're in the central time zone. Can we just make it central time, just a CT? I'm going to look at staff. I mean, what does staff think is the best? I just want to make sure that we get it right.
Central daylight time, if you're going to screw
central time would be accurate.
So the motion by Senator Nesba is to change CST to CT on page 4, line 23. Is there a second? Senator Crabtree, since you started this. Senator Crabtree seconded that motion. Any debate? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. There. Any other motions on Senate Resolution 702A as amended? Actually, we already had a motion to approve it. That was that should have been treated as a substitute motion. So at this time, do we have a motion to approve Senate Resolution 702 as amended? Moved by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Crabtree. Discussion.
Mr. President.
Senator Nesba.
Just a question for clarification. What would happen in the case if the Attorney General were to resign at any point before we get together on June 21st? How would we proceed?
This is just my opinion. Others may disagree, but I think the process goes forward because there's that second question about whether you could ever hold office again. And so we have the impeachment article sent to us by the House. I believe we'd have to act on them. It'd be a lot quicker. Any other committee comments or discussions? Yeah. Well, then I would just say a couple things. I thank Senator Wheeler's, Rush, and Johns for the work of discerning through the other states because that was a heavy lift. I got to chicken scratch on the work after they did all the heavy lifting, and I appreciate that opportunity. I think what you should see out of this is, as much as possible, the legalese associated with civil and criminal proceedings are removed. And also, much of, you know, we've had a chance to watch a couple of impeachments on television, and they're all circus acts with everything but acrobats. And I think all of the circus aspects of the process have been removed. This is as clean of a process while fairly protecting the rights of the Attorney General to present his testimony. And I want to highlight for you that the time period, if the Attorney General chooses to testify, the time period that he testifies and the cross-examination of him are in addition to the 4 hours each side has of their combined direct and cross-examination. And it's in addition to the 1 hour he has at the front end and the 1 hour at the back end. So that right now, under the current rules, there are 6 hours plus however much time he chooses to testify personally. And the other thing these rules envision would be that the members of the Senate would, starting, I mean, I don't have to run down and do it immediately, but starting today, have access to and undertake reviewing documents so that we don't have to sit on the Senate floor and have reports read to us or have us read reports that are introduced on the Senate floor that day. That envisions that you educate yourselves from materials made available. But that's a responsibility each of us individually have, and I think it's going to take a little while. So that's a significant part of expediting the process, and you'll see that spelled out in Rule 3-1 in particular. That rule in and of itself is what will make this a much more streamlined process. And having said that, anybody else, did I inspire any other comments or questions? Feel free if you do, any members of the committee. Seeing none, then, would the Secretary call the roll on Senate Resolution 702 as amended?
Senators Crabtree?
Aye.
Diedrich?
Aye.
Duhamel?
Aye.
Nessaba?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
And Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, you have 7 ayes and 0 nays.
Senate Resolution 702, as amended, having been adopted unanimously by the committee, is hereby sent to the floor. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Senator Nessaba, seconded by Senator Duhamel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.